It's Sunday, March 9th, 2008. Well, I am Ragnar Dansjold, and you have once again stumbled upon the Pirates Week, a podcast serving the shortwave pirate radio community. We cover, well, pirate radio. Hey, no real stories in the news this week about pirates, but I do cover one relevant blog post that you should be aware of. Well, we're going to go through several relevant forum postings on the internet, including the Free Radio Network and Note Stations Logged this last week. We have a couple off-air recordings for you, the propagation forecast, something special from Culpsville, and a few closing thoughts from me. But fair warning, this episode I am going to be expressing a few opinions, some of which you may not agree with.
Almost live from the Fuking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Dansjold.
Okay, let's get this puppy started. We're hope you realize today was the time change. We have sprung forward, and now I have a little less time to finish the Pirates Week. We're going to start a new game. Every time I say the word really, take a drink. You're probably going to need a 12-pack to do that, because I really say really a lot. I noticed that listening to the last show or two. Yeah, I'd like to say hello to everybody at the Winterfest. I kind of didn't go this year. If I was, I'd probably be somewhere in western Pennsylvania right now, driving with a hangover. And I did want to note one other thing. I realize I'm probably a month or two late on this announcement, but the Wookiee Satellite Network, the W0KIE, who also aired the Pirates Week, which was really cool, like a year or so ago, they went off air in December 2007, but starting, like I said, a month or two ago, they can now be heard again. They have changed to the Sky Scanner Satellite Network on Galaxy 25. Like I said, that's a month or two late, but better late than never. And, hey, let's get into it. We got a bunch of stuff to cover this week. Let's get into pirates in the news, huh?
Pirates in the news.
Well, as I said in the opening statements, I really don't have any news stories for Pirates in the News, but I do have one blog posting I wish to share with you, and this is coming from the Free 103.9 newsroom. There has been a record number of New York City microcasters contacted by the FCC. Now, this is in response to a New York Times story on the record number of New York City microcasters that have been contacted by the FCC. Free 103.9 bemoans the fact that the New York Times article barely touches the recent enforcement actions in New York City, which seems to be at some sort of historic levels, noting that 12 to 15 stations, well, depending on how you count them, have been receiving notices of apparent liability from the FCC so far in 2008, many of them just in the last 30 days or so. Now, by any measure, that is a record number of pirate radio busts in New York City. You can read the entire story on the 103.9 blog. Links, of course, will be in the show notes, www.piratesweek.info.
FR and forum postings.
Well, with that, you know what time it is. It's time to take a look around the internet for some relevant forum postings, starting off like we always do with the Free Radio Network, www.frn.net/vines. Well, there has been nothing on Pirate Shortwave except comments on the ongoing implosion and aftermath of Commander Bunny and Cracker leaving the pirate radio hobby and their request to close their accounts on the FRN. The lengthy PMLOL thread has been removed, and the only bright spot this week has been Radio Maple's Leaf declaration that he has received his Bunny Cracker t-shirt that he bought off of eBay. But over in the workshop forum, Bender posted a reply to Lex concerning the Par Electronics EF-SWL antenna, noting that it is physically as advertised, reviewed, and pictured, and is simple and easy to install. Bender then went on to describe the trials and tribulations of putting up the antenna, including the barking dogs and tree climbing. The Par Electronics EF-SWL antenna is a end-fed shortwave antenna, optimally designed for 1 to 30 MHz reception. The radiator is a 45-foot coated flex-weave wire. From what I've understood, it's not too bad of an antenna. Over in the LPFM section, Radio Brandy started a thread this week concerning the FCC's localism plan, noting the proposal would force radio stations to curtail reliance on labor-saving technology and instead force them to pay someone to be on duty at any time the station is on air, day or night. This would be true even when a radio station is receiving programming by satellite and has monitored computer systems in place to maintain service and notify responsible personnel in those rare instances when a problem may develop. Well, Pigmeat notes the likely outcome of this, stating that the stations already know how to get around this. One of the station clusters he does business with has a minimum wage kid, or sometimes even unpaid interns, that stay in the building overnight, making sure all the stations keep playing. One person watching seven station, and it counts as a live body during operations. Over in Alt Radio Pirate, I found a link to Rick's Pirate Radio blog, DXing in the Southwestern Finland. Comes word of the mighty KBC will start on 6055 this Monday, the 3rd of March. KBC goes on to say that they hope this new frequency of 6055 will bring them the same results as their old frequency of 6255. Starting March 9th, the mighty KBC will start broadcasting to the United States at 0100 UTC on 6040 kHz. Now, if you're listening in Canada and the United States, please monitor that frequency of 6040. There will be links in the show notes to Rick's Pirate Radio blog so you can check out the new frequency of the mighty KBC. And from the Free Radio Networks, noting stations being logged this last week, stations being logged include Spider Radio, Psycho Radio, Ron Muller Radio, Moonshine Radio, WAIR, All Indie Radio, Maple Leaf Radio, Mashup Radio, Radio for the Common Man, Liquid Radio, Wolverine Radio, The Joint, Crystal Ship, Relaxation Radio, WHYP, Undercover Radio, This Is Not the BBC, Border Hunter Radio, Conorad Radio, and WTCR.
You know the weird guy in the corner of the office who always has his headphones on? That's you!
Well, with that, it's time now for some off-air recordings. Got several for you today, starting off with the voice of Mike Gawkin, 6950 AM, the 2nd of March, around 2030 UTC, SINPO 34343. Mike Gawkin is a pickle smoocher, playing a tune called The Prison Bitch, a couple bozo clips, Radio Jamba International ID, off suddenly, then he came back on a little later around 2100. Take a quick listen to the voice of Mike Gawkin.
Tony, Draka,
so is the ruling of this course.
L-F-T. Radio Jamba International.
Radio Jamba International. Radio Jamba International.
Ah!
Radio Jamba International.
Radio Jamba International.
Hi, I am Mike Gawkin, your presidential man meat muncher candidate, and I'm a pickle smoocher. My faggot self and my good gay buddy, DJ Bout It, or else BJ Doubt It, are running for Queens of the United States. Isn't that in NYC? Oh, that sounds delightful. Our motto is we are BJ friendly, both Gawk and BJ Doubt It. Oh, email us at iquitradio@yahoo.com. That's iquitradio@yahoo.com. That's iquitradio@yahoo.com. Do you hear me? That's iquitradio@yahoo.com. When that time, Jay Farrell. Well, if you feel like we are, that is. Anyway, she will send you a full-color QFO of yours truly, Mike Gawkin, with my cock and BJ Doubt's mouth swallowing my eight infested jism. We are your official ATM team. We will do things that Commander Bunny and Cracker never dreamed of, but I wish they'd dream of it. So pack some fudge with me and the DJ, the BJ, vote Gawkin BJ Doubt It, 08. A blowjob for every vote. Thank you, gay fella.
Next up, WAIR 6925 Upper Sideband, the 4th of March, 2110 UTC, SINPO 45434. Had a very good signal this time around on WAIR. He did mention this was the program dedicated to fish. Take a listen to WAIR.
Vivian and the song The Wedge. Before that we heard Arlo Guthrie and Bouncing Around the Room. You're listening to a tribute to Fish on WAIR, All Indie Radio. And I'm your host, Robert J. Yardbound. If you'd like to communicate with WAIR, please send reception reports to P.O. Box 69, P.O. Box 69, Elkhorn, Nebraska 68022. Here's the Tom Tom Club.
Next up, Relaxation Radio, recorded by Sea Lord, 6925 Upper Sideband, SIO 444. Sea Lord noting that it was a great booming signal into Florida this evening with very little fade. Take a listen to Relaxation Radio.
Relaxation Radio.
Relaxation Radio. Relaxation.
Relaxation Radio. Relaxation Radio.
And finally, one of my all-time favorites, he's bad, he's back, it's Mr. Brownyard's WHYP, broadcasting 6875 AM, the 7th of March, 2315. SINPO, well, it was not that good, 25232, with some occasional UTE interference, but you can definitely get the unmistakable yeah, of Grandpa Brownyard going on the mic. JB went on later and said that he was broadcasting with 15 watts. Not a real good signal here, but definitely want to include it on the podcast because, hey, it's WHYP. Take a listen to JB here on WHYP.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
Well, it's time now for the propagation forecast, coming like it typically does from This Week in Amateur Radio.
Taking a look at this week's propagation forecast, we see that following 5 days of no sunspots, we finally saw one, number 984, on March 5th and 6th, but it is currently fading off the west limb of the Earth-facing portion of the sun. Solar activity is still very low. Last week saw a geomagnetic disturbance on February 28th through March 1st caused by solar wind streams from a coronal hole. The far north saw dramatic aurora displays, and the planetary A index on those last days were 22, 27, and 19. But the far north College A index, measured near Fairbanks, Alaska, on the same days were 27, 44, and 44. It seems the geomagnetic activity, which is stronger in the far north because of a concentration of magnetic lines of force at the poles, had a bit of a hangover compared to the planetary A index and the mid-latitude A index. The A index at 44 is dramatically high, and a storm hung over for an extra day compared to the lower latitudes. Looking ahead for the next week, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the U.S. Air Force both predict a planetary A index of 5, 15, 15, 10, 10, 15, and 10 for March 7th through the 13th. Geophysical Institute Prague predicts unsettled to active conditions on March 7th, active geomagnetic conditions on March 8th, and unsettled conditions on March 9th through the 13th.
Well, remember the fair warning I gave you at the beginning? Well, rarely do I have an unkind word for This Week in Amateur Radio, but I'm going to take issue with a story they did this last week on the person's blogging about their dealings with the FCC. Now, the story is about 2 minutes long, and I'll play it for you, but what irks me is the unspoken but intrinsic position of the story that people who have been contacted by the FCC are automatically guilty. Or that's what I'm hearing in this story, as the narrator rhetorically asks, why would someone who has been contacted by the FCC take their story public? This completely ignores the possibility that the FCC has wrongly accused citizens of wrongdoing. Take a listen to this story from This Week in Amateur Radio.
There's a new twist on the ham radio regulatory enforcement scene in the United States as some radio amateurs accused of wrongdoing by the Federal Communications Commission take to the blogosphere to plead their case or denounce the regulatory agency as interfering with their right to free speech. In the wake of a recent FCC announcement that only final actions in ham radio matters would be made public, some hams accused of Part 97 infractions are taking their story public with websites and online blogs of their own. The reason seems to be to let the ham radio world know that they intend to fight the government accusations made against them. Back on January 15th, the FCC announced that due to privacy concerns, the agency was dramatically scaling back the amount of information it would make public in regard to amateur radio service enforcement actions. Up until then, it had been common practice for the agency to release letters to individuals that require a specific response to an allegation of wrongdoing. Now the only information made public are notices of violation, notices of apparent liability to monetary forfeiture, and other final actions in a given case. But in a strange turn of events, this new FCC posture to protect the identities of those accused has led at least two or three such people to create internet blogs, places on the web where they have posted the violation notices that they received, along with their respective views or responses. The reason that these sites and blogs appearing is unclear, since one would think that most hams who receive letters of inquiry regarding their on-the-air operating practices would tend to want to keep the matter quiet and settle the issue well out of the public eye. It will be interesting to see how many more of these sites show up as ham radio rules enforcement continues and some on the receiving end of the FCC notices go public on the web in their attempt to fight back.
Now, I'm probably making too much of this, but I personally believe the web, much like someone who may own and operate a transmitter, is attempting to level the playing field between the citizenry and a powerful government entity. A government that, through incompetence, apathy, or even outright malevolence, tries to force its will upon a nation without regard to its laws. So by using a transmitter or even the web, you can try to level that playing field. Well, that's just my two cents. It just kind of irked me when I heard it. Let's get into something completely different now. Live from the Winterfest, Alan Wiener Worldwide was interviewing George Zeller during his show. George, of course, is a shortwave pirate radio notable and a hell of a nice guy. Take a listen to this. It's about a five-minute clip from Alan's show on WBCQ, which is available for download on rfprograms.com in its entirety. There was a little bit of jamba in the phone line with some static. Well, I tried to remove the static and made the audio just a little bit watery, but it's definitely listenable. No more worse than listening off air some days. So take a listen to this excerpt of the Alan Wiener Worldwide show when he was talking to George Zeller.
Forum today, I have here this month's edition of Monitoring Times.
A great magazine, yes.
Trying to find the right page, and we have a list of all the shortwave pirates that the readers of the magazine heard last month.
Cool.
And up here at the top in alphabetical order is the Alan Wiener Worldwide Parody Station.
What? What's that? I didn't see that. Yeah. Really?
And what somebody has been doing is they're recording this program that goes out on Alan Wiener Worldwide, and then they went back to, what do you call, the audio version of Photoshop and changed the words around a little bit.
Are you serious? Let me see this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is new to me. I haven't seen the new Monitoring Times. It says Alan Wiener Worldwide Parody. This new one popped up with audio clips of Alan Wiener from WBCQ. Have you heard?
Yes, I
have. How bad is it?
Well, actually, it's not necessarily bad. It depends how we define bad. Bad can be good, but we actually have some pretty clever electronic types in the shortwave listening end side of things, and some of them are pretty clever at putting language together, and they don't exactly play your whole show. I hope they're not recording me right now. They'll take a few words out here and there. Actually, that's been done. Back in the old days, there used to be a second convention that was held down in the South. It was run by Grove Enterprises.
Yes, I remember that.
And I did give a speech at that convention, and Bob Grove had the great idea he was going to sell tapes of the people who gave speeches. And he taped this and sold them. Somebody bought one of my tapes, and then they did the same thing to you that to me that they did to you. Chopped it all up so that it comes out strange.
So, do you remember anything? Any examples?
Well, actually, they not only mentioned you, but some of the, we've already mentioned the diverse quantity of types of people that we have in this hobby, and there are, let's face it, a handful of oddballs that do call you once in a while.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And those, of course, are the ones that they pick. And that doesn't mean that Condoleezza Rice has been calling you recently. But,
no, she hasn't. I haven't spoken to her in a year or so.
But the people that do call and that are a little on the bizarre side, that's who tends to make it. That's sort of similar to the fun they were making of Hillary Clinton on Saturday Night Live last week. There are people who got a good sense of humor in this hobby, and it's certainly getting a little bit of the word out that your station exists, and that's a good thing, I think. And of course, people are listening to us tonight, so they already know that. But one thing that's been very very pleasing to me here at the Fest for decades now, people have been coming. And one of the main symbolic features of the Fest, there's always been a free radio station that's associated only with the Fest. When they first started this convention, it was in a suburb of Philadelphia called Willow Grove. And it was at a different hotel that's out of business and torn down now.
Uh-oh.
And when they got there, the banquet rooms were all pink and purple. And it was kind of a run-down place, and the place took off. But because of that, they developed a tradition of Pancho Villa from this old run-down hotel.
Pancho Villa!
And so the boys...
Pancho Villa! Hey!
Yeah, so hey. Some of the attendees here have it down very well. And so at midnight on the last night of the Shortwave Listeners Fest, there's always a new episode of... free radio out of Pancho Villa, and it's done the same way as they did with the Alan Wiener Worldwide Parody, though. Pancho is never serious business. It's always making fun of people, and in fact, that's a great tradition in pirate radio. The main format of almost, I would say, two-thirds of the pirates that are on is a combination of rock music that, you know, a lot of times progressive music you don't hear on commercial radio, and in addition to that, they do originally produced comedy. My favorite, in fact, I give a lot of speeches around Cleveland once in a while at ham clubs. They find out who I am, and then they invite me out. And so what I take with me is a few of the better clips. And in fact, we've been on some of the commercial stations in Cleveland with these clips at times. And my favorite's the voice of laryngitis. That was a completely originally produced goofball station. Genghis and Stanley Huxley had a series of adventures, and the most famous one was the Pirate Busters scheme, where they took machine guns and had a dragnet operation on the FCC. And this is all coming out of a pirate station now that's not supposed to even be there, but they're very clever. And there used to be another one called Radio Clandestine. It was run by a guy named R.F. Burns.
I think I know those people.
I think I know those people.
Yes, they're reprobates. They're really.
But it's very funny, and the funniest thing I have though that I always take to these speeches I give at ham clubs. I was listening. There used to be another station called WHBH. HBH stood for Hillbilly Heavens, and WHBH was busted by the FCC one night, and I happened to be listening at the very moment when they were busted.
Oh, my head.
And so this guy's playing his hillbilly music, and then all of a sudden a voice comes on and says, "This is Agent Ellenson from the FCC. We're closing down this station. This station's closed. Goodbye." And then he shuts the thing off. So I don't know what possessed me, but I got out of my World Radio and Television handbook, pulled out the address of the FCC, and I sent them a reception report on their pirate broadcast. And somebody down at the FCC had a sense of humor. They printed up a press release for the bust to tell that this guy had been busted down in Virginia. And they sent me a copy of that release with a post-it note on it saying, "Yes, this was our broadcast." So I think I have the only QSL for a pirate radio broadcast directly from the FCC ever.
Holy
man. Well, it's in that spirit that people have got a sense of humor, even on both sides.
Well, we're getting down towards the end of the show, but before I leave, I did want to do just a couple words on the Commander Bunny and Cracker situation. Now, both of them have declared that they are leaving the pirate radio hobby, and this is after they were attacked on various forums, including the Free Radio Network. Pat Murphy, the moderator of the FRN, has been removing much of the content from the FRN forums, but as someone on the forums noted, it's hard to realize who the attackers are when the postings are so quickly removed. Now, subsequently, it's hard to support those who are being attacked, and unfortunately, I can't attribute that comment to anyone specific because that comment itself has now been removed. I believe these two operators were some of the most creative people in the hobby lately, and it's really a travesty to see them go. Now, I can't speak for them, of course, and I won't attempt to, but I think it was the perceived lack of support from the pirate radio community that drove them away as much as the initial attacks. I know that they believe that much of this was on the IRC chat room pirate radio on the Star Chat network, and that's why I'm no longer participating there. I'd like to think of both of these operators as friends of this show, and I hope that they will return to the hobby at some point. They have provided some of the most entertaining material heard on the shortwave bands in the last couple years, and really, they will be missed. That's, well, just my two cents on the ongoing implosion of the pirate radio community. Hopefully, Commander Bunny and Cracker will both return, you know, when cooler heads prevail. Well, that's it for this week. I'm sorry to leave on such a downer note, but I did really want to get that off my chest. Hey, until next time, guys, thanks for listening.
Boat Anchor Soft Glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web. We meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week. That's piratesweek.info.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.